Now, here's a man coming up now, I assume, with whom I can never be harsh, because along with Bradshaw, they're the only two people who I consider know more about handicapping than I do. And I say that,
this is a little common,
but they are really superb in what they do. And if Tom Brohammer says that he uses weight, or he uses trainer, or something, then I will accept it. For only one reason. It doesn't keep him from winning. Most people who emphasize trainers and use that horsey language of the past do not win as a result of using it. But Brohammer is the perfect amalgamation of certain mainstream concepts and the methodology, so he can say any damn thing he wants. But make it brief.
All right, I will.
No, I'm just kidding. Take it from me. Jesus, don't ever tell a guy when he's going to break for dinner. There are other things we could do if you don't want to go all the way to six.
Oh, no, we'll do this. I'm delighted to do it again. Hello, everybody, once again.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom. I just finished the Notre Dame, not the Notre Dame, the USC-UCLA game. UCLA won it, 27-21. USC had a total of 6 yards rushing the whole ballgame. That's what got beat. They're at 3 yard line. They're on the 3 yard line with a minute and 20 seconds to go. It's their game now, and they've passed their way down there. They've passed all day, and then they decided to run it two times in a row. And it got stopped. And then on third down, they did try to throw, and they threw it right to the UCLA.
On the 3 yard line, and they go to mainstream handicapping when they
mainstream did. Running. That's right. Robinson went back to mainstream football.
I think they were.
It was a great comeback. It was really a good comeback, and they could have won a football game. But UCLA, I think, was a better team after watching it. Notre Dame got beat. If anybody's interested. 41-39 by Boston College. This is a break. This is called filler. 41-39. Can you imagine that game? Ohio State got knocked out of the Rose Bowl race if Wisconsin takes over. 28-0 by Michigan.
Did you write those
all? The other one is West Virginia upset Miami, Florida.
What's happening?
Very quickly, we were talking about contender selections first time around. Let's see if I can adjust this. Is Jordan sit up straighter than I do? I guess so. Well, Vic's a tall guy. Anyway, we talked about contender selections, and they've been published several times. But I mentioned that I insisted a horse was up close at the stretch call in the previous race, and if that race is excusable for any reason, at least the race before that. Always being careful not to excuse too many efforts. Now, that's 2.5 lengths or so, maybe 3 lengths in a sprint, and 4 to 5 lengths in a route, and just be kind of generous with that. If the horse is dropping in class, though, I'll roll it back to the previous call, to the second call, and sometimes even to the first call if it was an exceedingly fast pace. And that's the basis for the contender selections. If you want to go further than that, it's in a lot of our follow-ups and a lot of writing. Now, a fellow asked me about a horse on page 7. And he says, would you have thrown out Steady Silver, the winner of this race, which was the one horse, based on that contender guideline? And my answer to that was that one of the other things that I said is that if a horse is past 30 days, and you can again find that in some of the earlier stuff, if the horse is out past 30 days and has been freshened, I treat the horse as a layoff horse and not off of its last race. And in the case of Steady Silver, who I did not handicap this particular day, and to be honest with you, I probably would not have liked Steady Silver in here, but that the issue is that this horse being off for over 30 days, I would have treated it a little differently than had that last race been sitting there 2 weeks previous. And so that's another, you've got to take it all with a grain of salt. Now let's go to, this was all from one day, incidentally. This is when I finally decided to send these things off to Howard because they made very good examples. Now when I find this one, page 25, thank you. Page 25. And this is a particularly good race. And the reason I chose small fields, that way I can put all ten lines of every horse in my computer. All right, never mind that one. I would like to add one other thing. We were talking about trainers a few minutes ago. My emphasis on trainers is not extreme by any stretch of the imagination. And all I do is a familiarity with my racetrack. When I go elsewhere, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but in my own racetrack, there are certain guys who can't train these things to eat, let alone win. Once you know who they are, that's the extent of my trainers. I don't go looking for trainer patterns that this trainer wins 21% of the time on the drop, because undoubtedly when you find that the trainer wins a certain amount on the drop, you find that he doesn't win with the rider he's using. So now which data do you go with? There's always conflicting data. And Lee Russo especially is good. I don't know how many of you know Lee, but he's especially good at pointing that out. That almost every one of these strong patterns, good or bad, is generally neutralized by an opposite pattern at the same time. So you kind of have to take these things as the athletes they are and bet them or not bet them based on their abilities, because the ability of the horse is still absolutely number one. Number one. And we have some of the greatest tools I've ever seen for distinguishing between fields of racehorses. We'll do it the way we did it before. Look at Town Caper in here. This is, and unfortunately we don't, one of the races I kind of like, a couple of the races we had when we were at Saratoga were restricted claiming races. In other words, claiming races for horses maybe that had never won more than two races, or horses that had never won more than three races, period. Those are particularly good for understanding or knowledgeable handicappers. And when you have races like that, and this is just an aside, this has nothing to do with Town Caper, but when you have races and when you get the opportunity to play races like that, you hone in on horses that have been running in open claiming races. For example, Bay Meadows and Golden Gate won a lot of races for, and even at the 6250 level, for horses that have never won twice. Horses that have not won twice in a year. Races like that. And the way to handicap those races is to get around that and find horses that have been running in unrestricted company. And then to be very loose with your pace line selection, because they undoubtedly improve when they hit restricted claiming races. That's just an aside. I was sorry we didn't have any races like that to do this week weekend. Town Caper. How many of you would make Town Caper a contender in here? Just look at him for a minute. I only see about three hands. Now I see four. I mean, just take a moment and tell me whether or not Town Caper is a contender in here. This is a $50,000 claiming race. And on August 5th, this horse won for $50,000. What conclusions can you make from that race? Put up a hand and tell me why this horse is a if you make it a contender, it's a minor one. Yes? There you go. That's the perfect answer. Look at the age on this horse. Pay attention to the ages of these horses when they begin to mix them up. Look at the age of Town Caper. He's a three-year-old. And even now in November, and even in December, horses that have not competed and beaten horses of the three-year-old and up type are at a disadvantage here. And because he beat a field of $50,000 three-year-olds in August, does not make him the winner of this race, and it also doesn't make him a strong contender in here. Now, if he's the fastest horse, that's a whole different game. And he's not, as you look at the rest of these horses. Now, let's take a look. Now, suppose this horse were older. Would you make him a contender in here? Suppose he's a five-year-old in here. Would he be a contender? I hear a no. Why wouldn't he be a contender? Not coming up to the race right. Well, now let's look at his last race. He's 91-1 in there. Warren Studi, who was a very good trainer overall, I don't know what he was smoking when he entered this horse in this race. Now look at it. I don't mean to be just flippant in here, but what do you suppose? Did this horse have any chance at all in the Cal Cup Mile?
The owners probably wanted to know.
Yeah, probably. But did he have any chance at all?
No.
So why hold the race against him?
No.
Now what about the race before? It was Spareplex.
It's also the best race run in Spareplex.
A mile and an eighth, and it was the Pomona Derby. It was the best race run for three-year-olds, not for older. But that was the best race run. So he really, now here's basically a claiming horse who happened to run second in a restricted stake. See the Real Goods Deal race for state breds at 60,000? That is not a very high quality race. But nevertheless, the horse ran really well there. If I were you, I made this horse a minor contender, at least in front, and then I dismissed him pretty quickly. The third race back on him is the race to look at. And I wouldn't hold the last two races against him. And in fact, in the Pomona Derby, he showed okay, didn't he? at a wrong distance, against the wrong class of horse, he was fairly competitive. He had moved up to third in the stretch with an eighth of a mile to go. So don't be too hard on him. Now, his natural ability is what gets in his way here. But just on the surface, you can't just dismiss him based on those two races. Night Predator. What do you think? Yeah, now this is an out. And the reason it's an out is a basic understanding of classes and classes of racetracks. How far down do you think Yakima Meadows is on the scale compared to Santa Anita?
Way down.
Mr. Jorgensen? A long way. Now, strangely enough, for the first time in my memory, a horse from Yakima Meadows did win a race at Santa Anita, and I think that's a function of Longacres no longer being in an operation and things like that, more so than anything else. But again, that's the first time in my memory, and my memory is very good, that a Yakima Meadows horse has won in Southern California.
Sunday after the Breeders' Cup.
I think it was, the day after the Breeders', and it was a maiden.
That's right.
A maiden claimer.
Both brass.
Something brassy, yeah. Yeah, all right. This is not a contender, and until a horse proves itself in Southern California, it is not going to be. What about Rath Salad?
Not for win.
Not to win?
He's a contender.
But why not to win?
The horse is coming off a layoff, and he's up against the race horse.
Sure, he's coming. Okay, I just want to deal with the. Are you the one who said not to win?
Run second.
Okay, this is a contender to win. It really is. I mean, look at this horse. Can this horse beat Town Caper?
Sure.
Can it beat Night Predator?
Sure.
Then why isn't it a contender to win? We haven't gone any further than that. No, it is. It is a definite contender to win. Now, some things bother me, and it should bother you, that after getting beat a neck in a non-winners of three, the horse has had to be put on the shelf a little bit and dropped in for 50. All right? Now, that would bother me a little bit, but this is a very good racehorse. He tries every time. Every time. Does anybody have any trouble with that? Now, the class drop is a little bit, you have to question it because, when you look at his record and his last race, you just wonder why they felt they had to drop him, although there aren't many races run for now in the threes. So it's not all that bad a race. What about Outlaw?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes?
No.
No?
Now.
How many say no? How many say yes? All right. For those of you that say yes, how do you get past his last race?
Wide,
outrun. Wide? Out of the 12 hole? Well, that wouldn't stop me for a minute, especially at Santa Anita, where the advantage is actually to the outside horses. The 12. Yeah, let me tell you something about the 12 hole there. Now, I'll repeat that question because I repeated that. The 12 hole at Santa Anita is not why, it's not the excuse here. Okay, because you want to be on the outside of these races. I excuse that race completely, but I just want to hear why you would do it. Yes. Now, we need a microphone back over here, Spencer. No, Spencer, right back there. And then go back over there.
Would it be because that was a handicap race? Prior to that, he'd only been in non-winners of one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is really one of the reasons. Yeah, I mean, if you look at this last race, and I'm asking, these are trick questions. I'm just asking you to think along with me here so that when we're all finished together, you don't make